The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
I have followed and read Maury Brown from Forbes for a while now. Good writer. And I always like the angles, if you will. And, you know, some of you might be like, Forbes? Forbes? What? Forbes? What are they doing in sport? Well, Forbes, look, where do you think you get
They're a lot.
That's exactly right. Where do you think you get your annual valuations of teams, which is probably my favorite thing they put out. But also just, look, the business of sports is a big deal. So, Maury's article on the A's, of course, caught my eye. It was Maury, and it was the A's. And the fact that Dave Cavill is very, very careful, you know, these days who he talks to. If you don't know, Dave Cavill blocks replies on his social media, as do the A's themselves, which is unprecedented. It's a very carefully crafted thing. So, in reading the article, we talked about it last week, Jason, what really started to catch my eye was in the very beginning where Maury says that Dave Cavill had said to him, hey, something to the effect of always great talking to you, and they had never spoken.
Right.
And
and loving the way you're covering the story. Like, just a lot of weird premises.
Love the way you'd be well-suited to write an article. And you don't often see that angle, and I appreciate what Maury did there, because he could have very easily blind-eyed the thing. Yeah. And I have a feeling, had it just been one or two errors, he would have. But it was such a cavalcade, a cacophony of errors by Dave Cavill, that he had to write it from, in part, that point of view.
I like that, cavalcade.
Yeah, Dave Cavalcade. Yeah. I didn't even do that on purpose. Joining us right now. It is early, but he is up, and we appreciate that. Powered by coffee, I think. Maury Brown. Maury, it's Dave, it's Jason. Thanks for coming on. Good morning.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Long time since you've been on this station, man. Welcome back.
yeah, a long time. What was it? Looking at the watch just a few hours ago. But it's always a pleasure to talk to you guys.
No, appreciate you. You know I'm a fan, and honestly, I really did think, first off, a lot of journalists, and you are a journalist, an actual real capital J journalist, or, you know, they're going to give their subjects a pass on certain things. And I think that your tone in this article, Maury, was really fair. You weren't looking to be unfair. You didn't have an agenda. But it just seemed to me, and I don't want to put words in your mouth or in your pen, if you will, it just seemed to me that you were taken aback as a journalist covering such an important story at a high level with the president of a baseball team, a Major League Baseball team. It seemed you were really taken aback by, I don't know if it's aloof. I don't know if it's just general ignorance, but there were a few gaffes by Mr. Cavill, who's been on with us quite a few times.
Yeah, and I think that you said it right at the lead-in here. I had no intention of writing this. I mean, he reached out to me initially. I had some questions around the ballpark itself, around the design, right, of the proposed ballpark in Vegas. You know, where are the bullpens, and, you know, how's the AC going to be handled? And, you know, could a partnership with a casino, a hotel happen, which of course is going to be built right next door, to help with attendance and sponsorship? I mean, it was a general straight reporting thing. And then he came on after, and you mentioned it. He didn't know that he hadn't talked to me before. And he's like, hey, thanks, you know, for always getting our story out there. And I was like, I'm not sure, you know, you've really paid attention to what's been going on here. And then again, it did. It got so over the top with these expectations of what he said he was going to have. You know, I was like, I have to write about this. I really do, because I think that it's important to give people an idea of the mindset of people that are involved in multi-billion-dollar civic projects where there's public money. It's just important to talk about that. I think that if Cavill had set reasonable expectations, this article never gets written. If he had said, you know, I was like, hey, the brand of the club, you know, is distress. Have you guys thought about changing it? And then thinking about this some more, maybe the reason they're keeping this is because there's no intention of going back to Oakland. Mm-hmm. And if you were going to go back to Oakland, then you would leave the A's name, you know, there. And maybe that's the case. He didn't say as much. But when he said that the move reminded him of the Dodgers moving from Brooklyn, it blew my mind.
Yeah, and I was thinking of that, Maury, reading it between that. I mean, you've listed several, the significance of the stadium, the significance of the move, all this stuff. It almost felt like, to me, was he trying to convince himself of all of this too?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, far be it from me to be a psychologist on this kind of thing. But I do think that after a while, when you talk up stuff, right? And look, if you go back and look at the history of the A's, and it's not like he's the first guy that's tried to make this happen. When Schott and Hoffman owned the club, there had been talks. I mean, this goes way back. You know, even if I've looked this stuff up, Walter Haas, I cannot find it again, but I swear that there was murmurs from even the Haas family, hey, we need to maybe look at a new ballpark at some point. You know, if you've been pining for a ballpark that long and you're starting to get to the finish line, you've probably said all kinds of stuff, you know, as a matter of politics to try and get things to happen. And if you try and do that with somebody that's a sports media guy, I don't know how you would expect anybody to just go on the face of it and go, oh, yeah, I can totally see that. I just could not see it for the life of me. It was such an audacious thing to say that that ballpark could be as memorable as Oriole Park at Camden Yards, which is, considered the gold standard of ballparks of this generation. But again, I mean, the idea that the A's moving from Oakland to Las Vegas is akin to when the Dodgers moved from Brooklyn to L.A. absolutely is impossible to see. I mean, again, we were, you know, looking at a fraction of the clubs that we have now. There were only one or two of them that were, you know, west of the Mississippi, let alone the Rockies. They were the Dodgers and the Giants in 57 completely altered the landscape of Major League Baseball. You know, from then on, we see major expansion in between that allows them to grow at this rapid rate in the 60s. So I'm like, I don't see how that is. All the major markets are filled up. You're moving into a place that's oversaturated with sports properties, right? Already the Golden Knights and the Raiders and the Aces are there. And, oh, by the way, there's 8 trillion different entertainment options to do in Las Vegas. How is Major League Baseball some great break, some monumental thing? And it just seemed like delusions of grandeur. Or, again, one of these things to where, hey, I've, you know, glad-handed and shook so many hands and kissed so many babies that, you know, I think you should believe this as well.
Maury Brown joining us from Forbes, saying a lot of incredibly interesting things. This whole thing is weird, Maury. I've never seen anything like it. I loved the comparison you made at the end between Dave Cavill and David Sampson, the former president of the Marlins, and trying to put that ballpark together, which he did. That wasn't a relocation, but he did put it together, was promptly fired by new ownership, and also had that same kind of slimy way he came across. But when you zoom out on this thing, you look at everything from the fact that Fisher's trying to sell or raise money at a valuation, sounds like a $2 billion, and the team ain't worth $2 billion even for controlling interest. The 9 acres that they say there's no way you can build this stadium on 9 acres. The fact that the San Francisco-Oakland market is market 10, the Las Vegas market is market 40, and as you just mentioned, is completely saturated. And then the thing, and I'm throwing a lot out there, just trying to build a case here, there's no relocation fee from Major League Baseball and its owners. This is unprecedented, and I'm not a conspiracy guy. In fact, I'm kind of an anti-conspiracy guy. I think most things have a logical explanation. I'm testing those waters here, though, Maury, because there seems to be something else going on beneath the surface. This does not add up to me.
Well, there is absolutely something going on underneath the surface. They want to get to 32 teams. They can't do expansion until the A's and Rays are resolved. Mm. Rob Manfred has said it publicly. They want to get it resolved anyway. But I asked him at the All-Star game. I said, Rob, I go, you know, you seem to be seeing the light at the end of the tunnel with these two, at least on paper. You know, how soon would expansion happen? And he says, absolutely. It's, you know, we would, you know, put together an expansion committee shortly after. And that's where they want to go, because those fees, the expansion fees for two additional clubs would be $4 billion to the current owners. It allows for regional realignment. I mean, nobody has spoken about this. If you look at baseball right now, it sets itself up for expansion. They remove, you know, we have the universal DH now across both leagues. We have daily interleague. So it's already homogenizing enough to where you go, hey, if we stick the Giants and the Las Vegas A's together in a division, is that really, you know, that monumental anymore? And it would be, you know, for people that, of course, have looked at this. But, you know, eight divisions of four is something that I think absolutely happened shortly thereafter. So, yes, there is something behind the scenes. That, and I think everybody's just getting tired of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was very surprised. The, you know, expansion fees allowing, you know, if they didn't get something done, they were going to lose revenue sharing. You know, the media market is a great concern. But I do think, honestly, that what happens here is that if you partner with a casino and you go, hey, if you buy a room here, we'll give you two tickets to a Monday game, you know, seeing the Rockies, you know, that still counts as paid attendance, yeah, even if it's deeply discounted. So that's absolutely stuff that's going on behind the scenes. It's absolutely part of it.
So hearing kind of that, Maury, I know there's some flaws and some holes in all of this potentially happening. But do you believe this will happen? Do you believe the A's will officially move to Vegas?
Yeah, I believe it's this too big to fail thing. I mean, it would be such a black eye for the league and Rob Manfred if it didn't come together in Vegas. Now, the particulars of it, where it's located, anything like that may, you know, change. I haven't heard anything to say that that's going to happen. But I don't think that it outright doesn't happen. It would be such an embarrassment, not just right within Major League Baseball. The entire sports world would go, you guys can't make something happen. So, look, could they pull levers and bring in, you know, people? I'm sure that, listen, John Fisher already said that they would be, you know, open to having local investors, I'm sure outside investors outside of Las Vegas, you know, to help bolster some of the money into it. Is there a scenario in which some minority partner comes in? And look, I don't think they would announce this sort of thing, but could you have somebody come in as a minority partner and with a path forward that in X amount of years they buy out and have the majority? Maybe. I mean, that's one way to make something like this happen. You know, so again, I think that it happens at this stage. It's just, you know, how many levers do you have to pull to make it come to fruition?
You can follow Maury on Twitter. We'll put that address out there as well, not just on this story, but in the world of sports. Always a fantastic read. Maury, appreciate it. You've definitely paid your dues on this station this week. We'll continue to keep in touch as always, but thank you for getting up this early and coming on with us.
Well, nothing coffee doesn't fix, right, guys?
Right. That's right.
You take care, and what is it? Always good talking to you, Maury.
Always good talking to you guys.
Take care, brother. Thank you.
Bye.
That's Maury Brown. Look, we've all done that. In Dave Cavill's defense, we've all done the thing where it's like, yeah, hey, great to meet you, and you've met the person four times, or the opposite.
Yeah.
Everyone's done that, and especially a guy like that who's talking to 500,000, you know, people behind the scenes. But the rest of it, comparing it to the Dodgers and Giants move out here, Maury nailed it. It is delusions of grandeur, but the David Sampson Florida Marlins comparison was really, really good. Those guys are cut from the same cloth, and you know, sell your soul, get them to Vegas. We'll take a break when we come back. Three for Madness brought to you by Fire Wings. Let's take a look at the Kings now compared to last year. And with the season winding down, can they match or exceed what happened last season? Also, where will they be sitting on Monday in the standings? In the meantime, I want to talk to you about not my opinion necessarily, but a second opinion that you may want if you've got HVAC issues going on at your house, your heating, your air conditioning, all that stuff. If you, let's say, recently had a technician, diagnose your system and maybe surprised. You were surprised at the cost. Maybe put it off. Heck, maybe you're pending doing it right now. Maybe something seemed off about their quote. Well, let's be honest. It's like I was talking to Chris Watkins yesterday on the air about it. Like, I don't know what. Oh, hey, we need to change the flux capacitor in your air conditioner so it's at 1.21 gigawatts. I don't know what a flux capacitor costs. And if it wasn't for Back to the Future, I would believe there's a flux capacitor in an air conditioning unit. And I'm pretty sure I'm not alone, unless you worked in the system. How are you going to know what these things are, much less what it costs, much less the labor involved? Well, one way to do that is to pick. Why would you not have a bidding war for something that can cost hundreds, if not thousands of dollars? Get that second opinion from American Energy, who are local, who have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, who've been serving the greater Sacramento area since 1981. They're big enough to know what they're doing to be really good, but not too big to where you got to wait 5 days for them to get out there. So get your second opinion. We're just going to come out and diagnose your system, period. And that second opinion is going to cost you nothing. 916-520-9990. That's 916-520-9990. Or AmericanEnergyAir.com. American Energy. Making the uncomfortable comfortable. 30-second break. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, 3 for Madness brought to you by Fire Wings right here on Sactown Sports.
Three questions, 3 answers. It's 3 for Madness on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Here's question 1.
All right, our thanks to Maury Brown of Forbes. As always, that interview and the entire program can be viewed and heard on YouTube.
Search Good business.
That's you're darn right. So go to Sactown Sports. Subscribe if you haven't already. And you got everything right at your fingertips. We'll get to the Kings and Knicks tomorrow. We'll take a look at before and after when it comes to March. Right now, it's Christopher Lott, 3 for Madness. Question 1.
The Kings will need to go 12-5 the rest of the way to win 50 games. Will they?
12-5. Could they? And not in the mathematical, of right. course, they could way. They go 17-0. Could they? Like, is it a realistic could they? Yes. They could go on, get on fire. But I'm looking at the rest of the year, Jason. They've got New York this weekend, at Orlando, Philly, 2 with Dallas, home LA, at New York, at Boston, at OKC, home New Orleans, home Phoenix, and then they finish out with Portland. Could they go 12-5? I think I see at least 5 losses in there. So I would say I think in the end it'll be close, but I think they'll fall just short of 50.
Yeah, that's above what they've been playing. And, you know, really, they've had 2 great wins in a row, which is awesome. But we've been complaining for about 3 or 4 weeks of win, loss, win, loss. Like, they've kind of, we also said earlier, had the 6-game win streak, a 4-game win streak, and 500 the rest of the year. So I would say no. I mean, I want them to. But
of course.
If I'm picking, no, I don't think they'll do 12-5.
All right, question number 2, please.
Question 2.
Okay. The Kings will need to go 10-7 the rest of the way to match their record from last year. Will they?
Okay.
Now we're talking. I think they will. As a matter of fact, they won 48 last year. I think they'll win 49 this year.
I honestly
do. I think they'll finish 11-6.
Okay.
49 is where I'm kind of putting it there. And maybe that's a little bit optimistic. Some people would argue that's pessimistic when you look at the rest of their schedule. But I think that's about where they'll be.
Yeah, and I know a little bit later we got a segment like kind of looking at everybody's schedule the rest of the way. The Kings have, I would say, more of a favorable schedule. Not than everybody, but what's good is much more than Phoenix.
Yeah.
I would say more than Dallas, who's right in their crosshairs there too. So they're in a better spot than those teams. They just need to continue to put this together consistently, which has been the tough spot. But I think that might be right around where they get to, is around that 47-48-49 win mark.
And here's your stat of the day. Kings have 17 games left. No other team in the NBA has more games remaining than the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah.
There's like 9 that are tied with them, but nobody has more, Jason.
Okay.
Cut number 3, please.
Question three.
Question.
The Kings go into the weekend a half game ahead of the Suns for the sixth spot. Phoenix plays at Charlotte and at Milwaukee while the Kings host the Knicks. Will Sacramento still be in the sixth spot come Monday?
I also had to look up Denver, or excuse me, Dallas, because they're only game.
Yeah.
Back, but they played Denver this weekend.
Saw that.
Yeah.
I do not think they will be. I think they'll be a half game back. I think Phoenix will split. I think Phoenix will split. I think the Kings will lose. So, Kings lose. Phoenix is a half game back.
Yeah.
Okay. No, wait. That would make them. They'd be tied, right? Wait, hold on. Oh, this is math. Okay, hold on. Phoenix is a half game back.
Well,
if Phoenix wins one of the games and the Kings lose the Knicks, now the Kings are a half game behind Phoenix. But then if Phoenix loses that other game, then they're tied, right?
Yes.
But?
But the Kings, they don't have they have the second tiebreaker. So they would be the sixth seed. So my answer is yes, they will be.
Oh. I didn't think about the tiebreakers. Okay.
Yeah, head-to-head, they're 2-2. They play one more time.
Yes.
But I think it's the division after that. So when they show up in the standings like the other day when they were both tied, the Kings were the sixth spot because they had the second tiebreaker.
It's very confusing.
Yeah. But so my answer would be yes. They will
be sixth. Guess mine will be yes.
Now, too. If they win, fabulous. Right?
I will make this prediction. If the Sacramento Kings beat the New York Knicks, I change my answer and I think they'll win 50. Because I think if they beat the Knicks.
But didn't you say they would then lose to Memphis?
Yep. I would. I said that a few days ago.
Yeah.
And I'm totally setting myself up for failure.
A lot has changed since then.
A lot has changed. If they're able to beat the Bucks and then the Lakers and then have a couple days off, like this Knicks game to me, this is really like New Orleans style bad matchup. Like this is the exact type of matchup they have issues with. New Orleans, physical, mid-range shooters. They can just kind of bump them off the block. Houston, physical, same type of thing. New York, physical, grind it out. Like this is a bad matchup for this team. If they're able to win this game, honestly, man, I think that will tell me, and I know I feel like Lucy with the football here, but that will tell me that they've turned a corner. They've turned a corner, a different corner, like George Michael. Remember that song from Faith? No.
A different corner?
Yeah, wasn't that a different corner?
I don't remember that.
And then I do believe it will be the most impressive. You know, we talked about it. Was this the most impressive two wins in a row? That'll be the most impressive three wins in a row.
That'd be great. I mean, if they did that, that would, you know, then you have a winning homestand. You have one more game to go in the homestand before. I don't think the most, I mean, it's a favorable road trip. You still got to go out and win them. But you just want to keep this thing going up and stay out of that play-in. Don't mess with that and see if you can do some damage and keep climbing up standings.
I don't like they haven't played each other yet.
That is weird. The last team they haven't faced yet.
That's kind of strange.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can find. I'm just kind of curious if I can find the. They have odds out on this. No way. Hold on a second.
They have odds on tomorrow's game already?
They do have odds on tomorrow's game. Guys, New York Knicks visiting the Sacramento Kings. Who's favored? And by how much?
Kings by 2.5.
Kings by a half.
I think I would have said Kings 1.5. I would have been right in between you guys. It would have been a Carmichael Dave sandwich with you guys as the bread, but no crusts. This might be the most surprising line I've seen since we started doing this. The Sacramento Kings are favored by 7.5.
What?
What the hell is that? I had to go back and look at the date to make sure that I wasn't just... somewhere
that might move,
huh?
That might move.
I don't look.
Listen,
listen, Linda. Vegas is shiny for a reason. Like they know what they're doing.
Yeah,
and I'm looking at some numbers here. The Knicks are 4-13 against the spread over their last 17 games. They are 0-7 against the spread in their last seven games against Western Conference opponents.
Okay.
But they are 4-1 straight up against Sacramento in their last five. I mean, they might not score 7.5 points in the game the way the Knicks defense is playing. By the way, if you've been betting Knicks games in the under.
Good on
you. The last couple. Yeah. 7.5. I don't even need to text him. He's probably listening right now. I can tell you right now, that's going to be my friend's biggest bet of the weekend.
Really?
By a long shot is going to be Knicks. Give me the points.
Really?
Yeah. 7.5.
So if I told you the Kings were favored by the Bucks, 7.5, you'd be like, that's crazy talk.
I would have. Yes, I would have
covered.
And by
their favor by 7.5 against the Lakers.
But here's the thing. If you'd have told me, like, for example, if you'd have said, oh, my God, the Sacramento Kings are favored by 32.5 over the Milwaukee Bucks. Yeah. I would have thought that's the most insane line I've ever seen. They covered.
Covered it.
They covered it.
By a half.
We'll take a break. By the way, I hope my friend gets screwed. I hope Vegas is right on that.
Wow, what kind of friend are you?
A friend of the Kings.
Oh, okay.
When we come back, Kings Knicks tomorrow. We'll look at the month of March, the ups and downs. Let's look at last March to just kind of see where the team was heading this time last year. The Kings are starting to get a little love from all the right places. We'll explain all that on your home of the Kings, Sacktown Sports.
Your sports fix.
Live and local.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Back in time, maybe I can forget. Turn a different corner and we never would have met.
Oh, not never forget. Damn it. It's George Michael. Different corners. Great work, Chris. Off of Faith. Maybe one of the, of my youth at least, my early youth. I'd have to sit down and think of this. Mount Rushmore of best cover-to-cover CDs of my lifetime, of my youth. I would say George Michael Faith is probably on there. Jagged Little Pill, Alanis Morissette. No One Could Do It Better, D.O.C. Maybe Under the Table and Dreaming by Dave Matthews. I think cover to cover. Honorable mention, Rattle and Hum, U2. No, I'm not going to say Creed. There's some real stinkers on every Creed album.
Really?
Yes. Before we get to the Kings, does anyone any pop into your mind?
I was never, and this shame on me, I was never really a cover to cover.
Yeah.
It was play the hits.
Play the hits.
Which is, that's not good. But that's artists wouldn't like it, but the program directors probably would.
Yeah. The power hits.
Yeah.
Disintegration by The Cure.
Yeah. Cover to cover.
Yeah. It's tough now, but probably Graduation by Kanye.
Hmm. Nope, that was a pretty good album. No doubt about that. Any others? I just honestly really want to hear yours. Something Smithies, Morrissey-ish. I guess The Cure counts. Did you ever go through like an actual goth phase in school?
No.
No?
He is now.
I'm closet goth.
Yeah, cloth.
He's Steve Goth.
Steve Goth. Steve Goth. I want to see a picture of Steve Goth.
There's got to be a goth generator tool online somewhere where we just put his picture. And that's an old co-worker of ours that we love very
deep
much.
Deep cut.
Deep cut. Before we get to the Kings schedule, I thought you guys would like to know this. And I'll credit Pat Still for this. Pat and Tom and Cody. He said, Dave, I want you to do me a favor, and I want you to take a look at the Arkansas Tech softball coaching staff. And I was like, that's literally, what? He'll throw some curveballs at me sometimes. That is maybe the most random one. And I thought, honestly, you know what I thought? I thought maybe his kid, like, what became a coach there or something. So I look up the 2024 softball coaching staff. Jordan Jones is the head coach.
Okay.
Addie Jensen is the assistant coach. Scott Gongola is the volunteer assistant coach. And then, oh, I see why he had me do it. And then Mr. Wilson is the emotional support coach. That's funny. That, you know, I mean, that's, you know, his softball team has an emotional support coach.
Why don't they have his first name?
I wondered the same thing. I thought maybe he's like an older gentleman or something. Why don't they have his first name? Now, on each name, it's a hyperlink you can click, and it will show their bio. And so I clicked on Mr. Wilson, and it all made sense because their emotional support coach, Mr. Wilson, is a basset hound. He's got his picture.
He's got a bow tie.
And a bow tie in the Arkansas colors. Huh. And his mouth is in a kind of a dog smile.
Yeah.
And it made so much sense to me. Like, with all the emotional support peacocks and everything out there, and look, you know, do you, whatever. I'm not judging, mostly. I think more sports teams, in fact, more jobs. What could be better? Like, can you imagine you strike out in that game? You go back to the dugout. Here comes Mr. Wilson.
His only advice, run after the ball.
Right? That's all he knows is fetch. He comes over with those floppy ears. You pet Mr. Wilson. You know what? All of a sudden, striking out ain't that bad.
Yeah.
Every play should have. We should have a Mr. Wilson.
He's a biter.
Would anyone object? But I don't know. I don't think we could do a dog because you can't leave a dog here. It had to be something that could live here. Would anyone
You would do that to an animal?
Well, I'm just, you know, what about like, what about if we had the official Sactown Sports emotional support guinea pig? We could have a little cage right there.
Why couldn't it be a dog?
Well, because what's happened to the dog on the weekends? Dog just hanging out in the studio.
There's people here on the weekends.
Someone's got to take it out for walks.
There are dogs here on the weekends.
That is true. It's got to pee. You know, what about overnight?
Doggy door.
Just put a doggy door out in the back. Well, I mean, I guess you technically could.
I think space to roam around.
Other things would probably come in that door.
Not with the dog around.
I'm all for I would like to see that in imagine if the Kings got an emotional support. You know, Kevin Herter, 0-for-3 from beyond the arc. Hey, go to the bench.
Isn't that what Slamson is?
Yeah, I guess.
Everybody feels better after a hug from Slamson.
That is true. I got one Tuesday.
Did you?
Got a big, big hug from Slamson.
Nice.
Yes. You know what? Slamson has very nice lion breath. I thought it would smell like old carcass and zebra. No. Slamson, I think Slamson brushes 3 times a day.
Yeah.
He's a very clean lion.
Good on you, Slamson.
And if you'd like to see him up close, along with the basketball team that plays for him, we've got you covered here against the Memphis Grizzlies next Monday. All you got to do is text the keyword. We've been doing this all week. That's going to qualify you for the drawing, which I believe is sometime later today, I would imagine, since the game's on Monday, for your entry to score this pair of tickets. So you want to text to 916-339-1140. Today's keyword is Kings.
Oh.
Yeah, I know, right?
Okay. Easy enough.
I know Simona Promotions went a little, what was the thing we did keywords for a while back? It was, you know. I feel like there's a happy medium between the real obvious and then, like, today's keyword is cornucopia. Like, right. You know, it's whatever. So text in right now.
Okay.
You don't need to put your name there. We'll use your phone number. It's not king. You don't need to capitalize it. I'm so tempted to say just because I don't know why it annoys me, but if you capitalize it, your entry won't count, but then I feel like that's illegal.
It would be pretty funny if this was a few years ago when Apple auto-corrected Kings to Kongs.
Yeah, somehow they fixed that, didn't they? That was bad. No one's ever said Kongs in their life. I even thought about it. It's a word, like, for example, I bought a big case of Kongs for my puppy, those little rubber toys. Who's ever said that sentence? Who's ever used Kongs in a plural? It's Kings. You know what else I don't say a lot? Ducking.
Are there multiple King Kongs For Kongs?
Look at all the
you
Kongs.
You haven't seen the trailer for Godzilla and Kongs?
Yeah, they're teaming up, apparently.
Yeah. First they fought. Well, they kind of teamed up at the end of the last one. I am very into the Godzilla and Kongs movies.
Who won the fight between Godzilla and King Kong?
It was Godzilla at first.
Yeah.
Then King Kong got like a he got like an axe. And he used it against. But then they teamed up together to go up against the Mega Godzilla. Oh, spoiler alert!
Wow. I've never seen a single Godzilla or King Kong movie.
But you know, like the roar, don't you?
Yeah. I feel it. Feel the roar.
Here we.
King's next tomorrow.
Is that Mr. Wilson?
That's the roar.
That was Mr. Wilson.
7 o'clock kickoff right here on Sactown Sports. You know, Jalen Brunson's having quite the year. 27 points, 6.5 boards, 3.5 assists. Dare I say, I feel like the Mavericks would be a better team with Jalen Brunson than Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, he had 45 last night in the win in Portland.
How do you win in Portland? I don't know. Is that do teams do that? Is that okay?
Place is a fortress.
So when you look at the month of March for the Sacramento Kings, what do we say, Jason? 11-4 is what we're I don't really know. I don't think you ever really.
Yeah, you and King Kong.
Me and King Kong. King Kong and I, whichever.
Yeah.
That's what we were looking at. But I was thinking, well, you know, how were we last year as we finished up the.
In March? I feel like they got hot.
They got hot. Let's see. Well, they started out on the 3rd of March with a 128-127 home win over the Clippers.
Woo!
Then they lost at home to Minnesota by 4. Oh. Then they won 3 in a row, so that's 4-1. Lost at home to Milwaukee. What's that like? Mm. Won 3 in a row.
So that's 7-2.
7-2. Lost 2 in a row to Utah and Boston.
Oh.
That's 7-4. Won 2 in a row, Phoenix and Utah.
9-4.
Okay, so you're keeping track, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. And then lost against Minnesota.
9-5.
One in Portland.
10-5.
And one in Portland.
That's when they clinched.
11-5. So they went 11-5 in March.
Yeah. So, but it was the, what's the game before Portland? You said Minnesota or San Antonio?
They lost 119-115 at home to Minnesota.
That's the one I think they could have clinched at home.
That's right. They could have clinched at home. That was the second time that month they lost at home to Minnesota. By the way, any idea? So that left 5 games left. Remember how the Kings finished?
Oh, probably like 2-3.
They lost 4 of the next 5.
Yeah.
Their only win was at New Orleans.
Oh.
121-103. You can win in Portland. You can win against New Orleans. My goodness gracious.
Yeah.
So anyways, this is kind of where they got right last year. And believe it or not, walking on air, could they be setting themselves up for a clinch again at the end of this month? I feel like that's a little wishful thinking.
Yeah, they're farther down. They were able to clinch last year. Because, look, if they could lose 4 of their last 5 and they didn't lose their 3 seed, they were in much better standing, obviously.
Much.
But, actually, I think the 11 spot, you know, they might clinch a
play-in-ish,
you know, like being in the top 10 team in March.
Yeah, I think they probably will as we go to break here. Let's see. They are
what's their cushion on the
They are 7.5, and they have 17 games left.
Yeah, is it 7.5 on Utah or on
Houston? On Houston.
Okay, so yeah, it's they've got the tiebreaker, but yeah, Houston does.
Yeah, okay, so 7, I guess then?
Yeah.
Whatever it is. Shape. They'll I think they'll clinch a play-in spot this month.
Yeah.
I'll say that. And then, Jason, this time next month, April 15th, we're my goodness, we're ready to go. Final game of the season.
It's what, April 9th or something?
Well, it was April 9th.
Oh, no, it's not until April
13th. It was April 9th last year. This year, April 14th.
Oh, 14th,
yeah. Sunday, oh, God, at home against Portland. We'll take a break. When we come back, don't forget, Brandon Nunes is going to join us at 9 a.m. Sacramento Kings insider for Sacktown Sports. But let's go around the world of sports, including a controversy at the Players yesterday and how Rory did. We'll talk about that next.
is, and he just kind of tells it as it is and gets to the point.
Jason Ross.
He has a lot of pretty smart things to say.
He's good at what he does.
On Sacktown Sports.
The Players' Championship going on as we speak out in Florida. A great day for Rory yesterday. Rory McIlroy, 7-under, tied for the lead with Xander Everybody Schauffele. 7-under.
Has yet started his second round.
So yeah, he has not started his second round, neither has Xander. A few have, though, and Jason Ross, we now have a 7-way tie at 7-under at the Players.
Lucky number.
Including former Open champion Matt Fitzpatrick, Wyndham Clark, who's been very much on fire lately, had a great week last week, and Scottie Scheffler is...
He's also always on fire.
2-under through 7. He is now tied for first. Scotty went through this period where, well, you know, when he burst on the scene, I was just talking to you about this. I just started watching Full Swing, the first first season. And I the second episode also deals with, I told you, you know, Dustin Johnson and stuff, but also deals with, kind of introduces Scottie Scheffler. And this was like, Scottie Scheffler, I think they were like the 53rd ranked golfer in the world going for his first, you know, PGA Tour win. And then he just goes on this run. And you remember this. There was a time where there was a stretch for a few months where I was like, dude, is he ever going to lose?
Right, he's absolutely dominant.
Dominant. And like was dominant as an amateur. It's one of those like, wow, talk about no hype for this guy when he's got a great resume. Like, is this the next great, great golfer? And then last year, something happened with his putting. Mm-hmm. It was just off, but it looks like he may have fixed it. He got an easy win, I think 5 strokes last week. And now he's got a little beard going. He's back on top again. 7-way tie. And by the way, you have 3 guys at 6-under, just 1 back. So it is clogged up at the leaderboard. And yesterday, Rory goes 7-under despite hitting 2 in the water.
Yeah.
Including 1, you know, he tees off. And there's water there, 300 some odd yards ahead, wherever he hits. You know, he hits bombs. And then there's like a red spray painted line on the bank of the water. And the thing is, if you land to the right of the line and go in, you can drop and shoot from there. Again, you know, 300 some odd yards closer. If it's to the left of the line, you got to go OB, you got to go all the way back, and you got to re-tee off, and it's the same penalty.
Right.
And I think other than maybe the first down markers in football, like the most low-rent thing in major sports is that they don't have any angles on it.
Right. Well, it's a tough one to prove. But
it is. I agree. And now you have Jordan Spieth, Victor Hovland, Rory McIlroy, their caddies, a rules official. Like, some of them are talking to spectators, asking them, and it's incumbent upon Rory to make the decision because there's no angle. The problem is, I think, as far as I know, and golf people out there correct me, but, for example, if he were to take a drop and then it turned out there was an angle or somebody saw that it landed, he could be penalized or disqualified.
Yeah.
And this is the only sport where, like, there's been times in the past where you've literally had people watching on television note a penalty and send it in, and that person was penalized.
And they listen. They're like, oh, you're right.
You're right.
After the fact, penalized, 2 strokes lost, you went from winning to finishing 4th.
It's so weird how golf is a major, major business.
Yeah.
But also a lot of it's on the honor system.
It is. I mean, there's no other comp, right? Like, we can't watch a baseball game. That actually was out.
Right.
I mean, I know they have replay and stuff now, but still, like, or to prove something else. They interpreted the rule wrong. This is what happened. Let me call. Who do you even call? Like, who do they call? Who do they get through to?
I've wondered the same thing. Like, there's obviously a phone number.
Right.
And or email.
Dork.
And the fact of the matter is, what's even worse, and Chris is alluding to that with the sound effect, he's 100% right.
He's being the person that calls.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You
want to
talk about sports Karen.
Yeah.
Like, that is the epitome of sports Karen. Like, bro, or sis, you're sitting at home and you see like the ball rotate a little bit, like what is wrong with you that you're calling in and you even know the number?
My doctor gave me Breztri for my COPD. Thanks.
Thank you.
Timing.
That was great timing. Yeah. You're calling in and narking off a player. I would love to gather these people together and be like, dude, think about that for a second.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Nerd. So let it happen, man.
Is it better to, after the fact, someone say, hey, the rule was gone. We actually, I mean, hey, Dave, you won, but we would have penalized you.
I mean, it's the same thing you in the NFL or NBA. You
There's
go back
missed calls.
And go, oh, yeah. Oh,
last 2 minute report.
Imagine like you're sitting at home. And by the way, there'd be a ton of people that would do this. And it's like, I just saw the replay and Santana Moss, the ball hit the ground. Why did I pick Santana Moss? The ball hit the ground. You guys missed it. That wasn't a first down. And actually, have. After further review, Jason in Elk Grove has informed us that it was, in fact, an incomplete pass.
Boo.
What is wrong with you, dorks? They should actually caller ID all those phone numbers and send them to one of them scammy places that have the prince that wants to send you money.
Yeah.
And always get telemarketed for
that. That's the risk. You can do it, but you're going to get this.
You're going to get the stuff. Yeah, that's what it is. Or, or you can make the call there. Ooh, I got it, Jason. You can call in and make a report directly to a rules official for $49.95 per report, and you're not guaranteed of being right.
Yeah.
But your report will be filed, but you're paying $50, and it all goes to some awesome charity. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Do it at your own risk.
Like the Morton Golf Foundation.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go. Like all that. Of it goes there.
Yeah.
Tom Morton and his family. That's perfect. If you are on social media and you go to the PGA Twitter account, there's about a 9-minute clip of Spieth and Rory and Victor and all those guys talking it out. Rory saying, like, I just want to do the right thing, guys. I'm pretty confident I hit to the right of the red line, meaning he could drop. And Victor Hovland was like,
Which someone's like, I think it went over by the turtle.
But yeah, they brought in some turtles into the game. I'm sure somebody at home called in.
Yeah, said it was the second turtle, not the first.
Not the first. It was the second turtle. It was Maury the turtle.
Yes.
Now, of course, the famous thing, and I was thinking about this yesterday. The famous thing about this this course is the 17th hole, the island green, if you will. And I saw this online the other day. I thought it was a really good question, but I'm going to adjust it for us.
Okay.
I think it's 152 yards from the tee. It's a par three. There it is right there on TV. So amateur golfers out there, here's the question. 152 yards, no wind. Use whatever club you want. You have a choice. You have to make it on the green 5 times out of 10. If you do, you get $100 million. If you don't, 6 months in jail. Do you take the bet?
No.
No. Yeah. 4 times out of 10.
Nope. I'll keep negotiating.
3 times?
Honestly.
Which jail?
Sarpy County Jail just outside Omaha, Nebraska. It's the only jail I've ever been in.
How is it?
Yeah, it's fine.
It was okay.
It was all right. Until a trucker came in the middle of the night on a DUI, and it was a 2-person cell, and he was having stomach issues. That wasn't great.
Yeah.
That's a true story.
Stinky.
Very. He even goes, sorry about this, son. I'll never forget it. I was 21.
Make this your last day in here.
Right, what was I going to say? I'm like, okay. Facing the wall, sucking my thumb.
How many times do you think you could get on the green?
I think.
Golf's so weird.
Now, let's just also, in this world, like, you can go to the range before. It's whenever you're ready.
I don't even know if that'll help me.
You're 100% right.
I mean, honestly, like I could feel like I'm ready, and then
I think the not number do well. For me would either be 2 or 3. I do think I could make it on the green 3 times.
Yeah, but wouldn't you also agree? I don't know if you have the same chance, but like for whatever reason, golf to me is so day to day. Like if you're having a day, like you could probably get on there 8.
100%.
And also 0.
Yes. Also very much 0. Yeah. And not just 0, but like 0 and not close.
Yeah.
You're like, 0 oh, getting, and not close.
I'm getting worse.
Like, and like maybe 1 and on that day, but it's because I hosled it and it skipped.
Yeah.
And got on the green.
Counts.
It does count. And you're right. There are days where I'd just be like, you know what? Nice, smooth swing.
Yeah.
I'm going to club down.
Yeah.
Nice, smooth swing, hitting it right on the nuts. Boom.
Ow.
9 out of 10. And the one that didn't, like...
No jail for you.
Went over. How bad would that suck? Because yeah. It went over. It's still on land. It just went over. Is there a number? $100 million.
No.
1 out of 10.
Not worth the risk.
1 out of 10.
6 months in jail.
6 months in jail. Or $100 million tax after tax. 100.
Oh, after tax?
After tax.
Game changer.
1 ball out of 10 on the green. I mean, talk about pressure like the PGA pros, though. Woof. Like, that's pressure. My hands would probably be shaking at some point. No?
Gosh, it would be so great if you could do it within, like, the first 3.
Just get it out of the way.
And so then you're like, oh.
And then finally, I just throw one. I'm like, it's there to hit it. I don't think I can throw 152.
No.
Yeah, that's like a football field and a half.
Yeah.
Chris, you don't play golf, right?
No.
No, so you would, that's not happening.
I mean, I'm pretty good with a 7-iron. I might be.
Yeah?
Yeah.
1 out of 10, 6 months in jail, $100 million?
I'd go for it.
Yeah? Knowing that you can go to jail for 6 months?
Yes.
I'll come visit you, Chris.
Got a roof over my head.
3 squares a day?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Made a new buddy.
Build those muscles up. Yeah, maybe make a new buddy. Take a break. When we come back, we'll preview the Kings and Knicks
as we
hit halftime of the program. We'll go through what the Knicks have been doing, what the Kings have been doing, and some history between the two. Brendan Nunes at 9, right here on Sacktown Sports.